Excuse me, this is the conference coordinator. Today's conference is being recorded. If anyone needs any assistance during the call, it is star zero. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you, Rebecca. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Charter Draft team for the PDP on Translation and Transliteration of Contact Information call on Thursday, 15th of August, 2013. On the call today, we have Chris Dillon, Amar Assad, Yoav Keren, Vinay Kumar Singh, and Rudy Vansnik. We have no apologies so far, and from staff we have Julie Headland, Mary Wong, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Julie.
Thank you very much, Julia. This is Julie Headland, and what I'll do is perhaps note for everyone that on our first call last week, we had... I apologize, there's going to be a loud noise in the background. Hold on. We have some military jets flying over. Okay, they're gone. Sorry about that. In our last call last week, Chris Dillon and Rudy Vansnik volunteered to be co-chairs of this drafting team. And I did also announce that on the list as well. And normally at this point, I would turn the agenda over to the chairs. But before I do that, I would like to ask if there are any other volunteers for chair or if there are any objections to Chris and Rudy taking on these roles. So this is Julie Headland again. I hear no other volunteers. I hear no objections. Chris and Rudy, are you both not having any regrets for volunteering for these roles?
I'm having no regrets. I mean, as you've probably seen, this is Chris speaking. As you've probably seen from the correspondence, it's quite difficult to work out exactly how it fits into other things going on in ICANN. But well, matter of doing one's best, I think.
Thank you, Chris and Rudy. Are you happy with this role as well?
Yes, I'm happy having Chris as co-chair because he has a lot of experience in these matters, and I'm happy to assist him in this role.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Chris and Rudy. Then I would like to go ahead and cede the agenda over to you both. I don't know which of you wants to start, but I did note that Chris had very helpfully sent an agenda through to the list, which I've posted here in the Adobe Connect room. So, Chris, perhaps I'll turn things over to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Julie. This is Chris speaking. So at the beginning, we have to ask a question whether there have been any changes to statements of interest. That's for technical reasons, and that's one thing. And another thing I'd just like to do is that if there is anybody new to this, whether they'd like to give a brief introduction. Okay. In that case, I suppose statements of interest don't change all that often, and anybody is welcome at any time to introduce themselves.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Chris. This is Julie Headland. I note that in the Adobe Connect room, Amir El-Sadr has raised his hand. I think he is hoping to speak.
Yeah. Hi. This is Amir. I just want to answer your question. Say I am kind of new at this. I've been on one GNSO working group before. This is my first working group, which is actually a charter team. Looking forward to working with all of you. And I also need to apologize. I might be a little behind on what's been going on. I've been traveling and pretty offline the last few weeks. I promise to catch up before our next call. That's about it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay. Well, moving further in, there's second part of the agenda is really about who else we need to be encouraging to be part of the working group, because I'm aware there aren't very many members of this working group at the moment, and so I think you know, it is important to pick up this at this stage. I don't know whether anybody has any suggestions. Again, Yoav, would you like to speak about that?
Yes. So first, maybe I'll say a couple of words. I wasn't able to participate in the previous call. Also, I was on a vacation. I did read all the work that was done on the charter, on the draft charter, and it looks good for me as a start. Clearly, down the road, we need more people here. The very important thing, and I've been, I think, from in the past 8 years in ICANN, I've been a member of almost every or all working groups and different committees of IDN that deal with IDNs in some level, and this is something that is very relevant to IDN, to IDNs. So I think this is we need some more people from what I call the IDN community. What we need to try and get are some people from, I would say, applicants for new GTLBs of IDNs, and some from those that already operate IDNs, either in the second level or in CCTLDs. If we can get a few more people with that experience, I think it will be very helpful. To have them here, I think you know, this the one thing that we've had in the past in many cases in other working groups, that there was not enough participation from I would say regions or countries that don't, you know, that their native language is not English or a Latin letter-based, you know, language. So it is important that we have people from, you know, China or Korea, Japan, and also Arabic-speaking. If we have at least one representative from the main, and of course from India in the. In here, or at least of each of the languages that are going to be in the IDNs, I think it's going to be very valuable. This is, of course, some work that the staff needs to do. I can try and help. I can talk with Ching, who's also been very involved. Ching is also a GNSO council member like me, but for the registries. Well, by the way, for the others that don't know, for those that don't know me, I'm a GNSO council member for the registrars, and I'm a CEO of a registrar, the largest registrar in Israel, and we've been working on Hebrew IDNs for many, many, many years, and are involved with VeriSign on their .com in Hebrew. Ching is also has been very involved in the past, so I'll try to approach him and see whether he would be available to join the working group. But if not him, maybe he can recommend someone that he's working with. But I'm sure that maybe staff can, you know, try and contact other people that might be relevant for this. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Yoav. I think Julie would like to say something, possibly about the ambiguity of the word working group here.
Yes, thank you so much. This is Julie Hedlund. So for those of you who were not on the first call, then please let me, for those of you who were, I apologize for repeating, but this group that is meeting now is actually just the charter drafting team. So this is a group just to draft the charter that will go to the GNSO Council for approval for the establishment and, you know, scope and milestones and so on for the work of the PDP working group. Once the charter is approved, there will be a specific call for participation that staff will put out for the working group. So that is actually a separate body from this drafting team, but it may indeed include some of the same people from this drafting team, but we expect that it will have a larger membership because actually if you look down in the membership section of the charter, so of course the working group is open to all that are interested in participating. We will specifically seek individuals with experience in translation and transliteration of languages and scripts. And we may indeed, I think Yoav put in some more language here that talks about, we do mention people with experience in internationalized domain names, IDNs, but we may ask, seek people specifically, who have experience, of course, in non-ASCII, non-Latin scripts. And I also should note that two members of this drafting team who are not on this call but are members of the drafting team do indeed have quite a bit of experience in IDNs, as you have noted, and that is Ching Chao and Edmund Chung. We didn't have apologies for this call today, but they are indeed on the membership, and we certainly would encourage them to be members of the working group once the charter has been established. So just to reiterate, the work of this drafting team is to craft the charter. And from last week, staff, Lars and myself, produced a very first cut of the charter, in which we present here for you today for discussion and revision. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julia. This is Chris speaking. I think that then probably takes us into the main part of the agenda, which is point three, which is actually looking at the draft that Julie did so promptly for us. So whether anybody would like to raise anything about the early part of the draft, perhaps. Julie, would you like to speak about it? Oh, no, sorry.
This is Julie. It did occur to me that I could give a little bit of explanation for some of the pieces of the charter that may help people in understanding how it came together, if that's okay, Chris.
Thank you. Yes, by all means. Thank you.
So much of the charter is actually boilerplate information, meaning that there is a charter template that we use as a basis, and much of what goes into the charter simply stays the same from charter to charter. It isn't really specific to a charter. So if you look at Section 1, I mean, this information is, yes, specific to this group, but the chartering organization in most cases will always be the GNSO Council. We've included the workspace, the Wiki workspace URL, which is the drafting team workspace at this point, but it will migrate. And it will be the PDP working group workspace. There's a reference to the GNSO Council resolution because staff will draft for this drafting team's approval a motion that would go along with the charter to the council, and that then the council could approve along with the charter. So those things are all fairly standard. And then there's the links to the document. Documents that relate to this work, the final issue report, and the final report of the IRD WG. The part, I skip ahead to the other sections because most of the sections are, again, as I said, boilerplate. So if I move to objectives and goals in Section 2, producing an initial report and final report is actually a process that is dictated in Annex A of the ICANN bylaws and described in the GNSO PDP manual. Any working group has to produce an initial report and a final report. Deliverables and timeframes, Those, again, are referenced in the PDP manual, and there are specific time frames discussed there. So this is just incorporated by reference. The membership criteria is something that is more specific to this group because we are looking for specific experiences. We can talk about more of that later, but Yoav noted that. But the group formation, dependencies, and dissolution is the same for all working groups. The working group roles and functions are essentially the same, except for the staff people may change. We've called out the staff people here that will be supporting this group, the working group. Statement of interest, again, is a procedure dictated in the GNSO Council Operating Procedures, and that section is referenced here. Section 4, the rules of engagements, comes directly from the working group guidelines, and unless this drafting team decides to use a different method for decision-making, the default is to use the method as described in the working group guidelines, which is copied verbatim here. Status reporting is the same for all working groups, that there are, you know, status reporting is made to the council via a liaison to the council. And the problem issue escalation and resolution processes is all the same for every working group, as is the closure and working group assessment. So the heart of the document, where it differs from other working groups, for this PDP working group, is going to be the mission and scope, the background mission and scope section, and the membership section, any details that we want to add with respect to the types of experience we're seeking for the membership of the PDP working group. So I'm sorry if that's a little long-winded, but I hope that has caught people up on what goes into the charter and some of the differences from charters with other working groups. Largely, charters are the same among working groups except for these couple of sections. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much indeed. This is Chris speaking. That's very clear. So I think to be thorough, actually I noticed Rudy's wanting to say something. Rudy, would you like to say that now?
Yes, thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. Well, as we exchanged already on the email, the question about the participation, especially in who should be part of the working group, I was just wondering if we are going to query for legal advice, as some of the information is part of what we call the privacy data, and an address and a contact details are very often also bound to legal issues. So I was wondering if in the working group there would be a necessity of having legal advice.
This is Chris speaking. As I replied in the email, I felt that we should answer the question at a later stage because unless we know what is being transliterated and what is being translated, the issues actually don't come up. So the reason I wrote in my email that I didn't think we should do that now was in fact because I was worried that that would sort of be trying to decide other things about the transliterating and the translation, which we actually couldn't decide till later.
Rudy speaking. No problem, Chris. I just was wondering, you know, we have to define the scope and the mission of the working group. That was my initial questioning about participation.
This is Chris speaking. I think it's conceivable that it could be relevant, but it's it's probably less something that we now need to do than that they may need to do it when they actually start working on it. Julie, would you like to say something?
Yes, this is Julie Hedlund. With respect to advice from ICANN legal staff, that advice is always available to the working groups for any issue that they are addressing. And it's in fact true that that many of the policies that working groups address under a PDP can indeed and do have legal considerations, and the ICANN legal team stands ready to address those questions as they arise. To Chris's point, I think that it may very well be more of an implementation issue as opposed to a policy issue. And that's one thing that I should point out here. It's a little bit of a tricky thing, but so this PDP working group will look at policy, and for instance, it might say, yes, we think it's desirable to translate contact information to a single common language, and we might say, yes, we think the registrar should do this, but the policy might say, well, the registrar should do this, but then leave it the implementation aspect to ICANN. So, you know, does this go into a contract, you know, with the registrars? You know, what exactly is the procedure registrars use? Do they have a choice of procedures and so on? So the PDP working group may not get into the specifics of how something's being done, but may say as a policy it needs to be done. And then in the implementation stage, there may very well be legal issues as to how that might be accomplished and, you know, policy and privacy considerations as well. These also may come up under the other working group that I mentioned in my email to the list. There is a working group that's looking at establishing a protocol and a model for internationalizing domain name registration data. That group will take a look at what this PDP working group is doing and come up with an overall structure, and that group may indeed be grappling also with issues of what information should be internationalized and how it should be treated. So one thing I'll just say, and I know Yoav has his hand up, so I'll stop shortly, but you have to be a little bit careful that the scope of this particular effort is focused just on these two issues identified here, because there are other efforts. There's also the expert working group that has an initial report on that relate to this, and this is just one small piece of the puzzle, so to speak. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you very much. Before we ask Yoav to speak, I notice in the chat room that Vinay and Mary have made various points, but I think they may have been answered by what Julie's just said. Anyway, Yoav, would you like to raise a point?
Yes, I'm trying. So which was, sorry, Julie, just a clarification question first. Which is the other working group that works on internationalizing the contact data?
Thank you, Yoav. So there is another working group that will be started up after this one. I think the call for volunteers has gone out. I'd have to consult with my colleague, Steve Sheng, to find out the status of that group. Unfortunately, he's out of the office at the moment. But there is another working group that's tasked with determining the requirements for internationalized registration data and producing a data model for IRD. And that relates to the board's action plan in its 8th of November 2012 resolution that directed staff to task a working group to determine the appropriate IRD registration data requirements and evaluate recommendations from ESSAC or GNSO, produce a data model that takes into consideration the work of this particular working group on transliteration and translation of contact information. And then also looks at protocols under development in the IETF's web-based extensible internet registration data working group and evaluates, you know, possible solutions. So that group will be taking things, obviously, a step much further than this working group and will indeed use the work of this PDP as part of the model that it will produce.
Thank you very much. Yoav, would you like to speak?
Yeah, I must say that looks to me that it's all ineffective to run multiple PDPs and multiple working groups on an issue that can be discussed, you know, at once. Because my view, and this is what I'm missing here, and maybe it's in the charter of the other working group, is what is it? What is going to happen to who is? Okay, as a big question, is it going to stay only in Latin letters, or are we going to add internationalization data? Internationalized data. Okay, that's the first question. Now, if we decide to do that, it brings up some questions. You know, how is this done? Are we asking, do we want both? Is it enough to have one? And if it's one that is not, you know, is a different script than English, than Latin, then comes up this question that we're trying to answer here, which is, you know, can you translate or transliterate? So transliterate, yeah, you can, but can you translate them, and who should bear the burden if you need to translate? Translate or translate. So my feeling is that the charter of this group, and you know, you have the headline of this working group, which is looks like it is covering more than what is currently in the mission scope. I don't know, and I'm not sure if we don't need to add here a little more about that, because the big question is, you know, what are the solutions for that? What do we want to do in that case of the who is, you know, whether it's not only is it desirable to try. By the way, I'm trying also to understand something, because this question, whether it is desirable to translate contact information to a single common language, this is what is happening right now. So I don't remember who and when this thing was written this way, but whoever wrote this, what was the motivation? Because this is what is happening right now on all GTLDs. Everything is being transliterated into one language or one script, actually. So the question is, do we add others? This is the first question. And I don't know. I'll be happy to hear what the others think about it.
Thank you, Yoav. This is Chris speaking. I think our responsibility is only some parts of what you were just talking about. So we have a responsibility to say whether whether there should be non-Roman in addition to the Roman script. And also, in that, you know, presuming that there may be non-Roman script, whether that non-Roman script should be translated or transliterated. What isn't completely clear is that there may be a situation where it's desirable perhaps to translate some parts of the information and transliterate other parts. There isn't actually anything saying that we can't do that, actually decide that we want to translate some bits and transliterate other bits, and so I haven't raised that as a problem. But that, you know, you could certainly imagine some solutions would be translating some bits and transliterating other bits of the contact information.
Sure, but the first thing you said is, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not really written right now. We don't have it in the charter that we're drafting, which is, something else than only the Roman? I think this is the first question, and it should be there. This is what I believe, and you said that also, but it's not here.
Okay. So, I think Julie wants to have a word about that.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Yoav. So I understand, and it's interesting, very interesting to me how you have pointed this out, Yoav. So these were two issues identified by the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group, and these were two issues that they were unable to resolve in their joint working group, unable to find consensus on, they do in their full report note that, yes, as you note, and perhaps it needs to be more explicit here, and we certainly can add it in. But in the IRD working group's report, they do note that, yes, currently, the default is ASCII. You know, there is a common language, there is a common script. Everybody uses ASCII. It's just what happens if we want to present the contact information in something other than ASCII and something in a different script, in a different language. In a different script and different language, a language that perhaps uses a different script, for example. I'm certainly happy to pull in some language from the IRD working group report and from the final issue report that makes that a little more clear in the charter. But so that certainly was considered and was discussed as part of both the IRD working group and the final issue report. And I admit it's not clear here. I don't know if that's helpful to you, Yoav.
Yeah, it is. It is helpful. I now understand. You know what was the motivation of fighting this. You know, so what they're asking is whether, for example, I would like to have an option that all who is data in the world is somehow transliterated or translated into Chinese and Japanese and Korean and Arabic and Hebrew and Russian and other scripts. And if someone from Russia logs in to a registrar and looks at a whois of any domain name, they can get all the information in Russian. So that's what they understand now, that this is what they were asking. I think this is just a first personal opinion. I think that's crazy. it's going to be so hard to implement it. The costs are going to be so high. I don't know whoever is going to do that. So, but correct me if I'm wrong. There was no group till now saying, "Hey, we need to have in the WHOIS, okay, in the WHOIS database, additional languages." You know, no one really finalized that. And I think this working group should specifically discuss that and come to the GNSO Council with some consensus, hopefully, on whether we need to do something about that or not. And, you know, then I think that's really, really, you know, the basic thing, because we can stay with the WHOIS as is. You know, there's other groups talking about different ways of having that data of the WHOIS and structure, but not about the data itself. So we're talking about the data itself. Should it be in other languages? I personally think that, yes, it should be, but I don't think it can be in all languages. There are different ways to get that information, and I think it's, for example, it would be valuable if the domain name registered for Chinese or in a Chinese entity, or maybe in a Chinese IDN, I don't know, maybe in that specific case, would also have contact data in Chinese, but then doesn't make sense that this will be also translated, for me, it doesn't make any sense to Russian and Hebrew and Arabic. But the basic decision whether that should happen or not, or discussion, to my view, was not finalized in any other ICANN group, and I'm not sure if there's a charter for anyone else to discuss that. And since this group is called the Translator and Translator Reiteration of Contact, the next working group, not this one, the next working group, the one that we're working on its charter, is going to be called, Translation and Transliteration of Contact Data. I think that should be the first and major question. And I don't see anything that is holding us from putting that as a part of the charter. But correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay, thank you for that. Rudy's been waiting for a while, so please, Rudy.
Thank you, Chris. What you just have been mentioning is indeed critical, and I think that's the reason why this working group is created, because the report and the previous working group didn't reach consensus on the outcome of it. And I'm almost convinced that the outcome of this working group will not be an easy thing, especially when we say that contact data should be related to the location where the registrant is located. That means it should be in that language of that country, in fact, the official language of that country, and that makes it already difficult, as we know that the WHOIS was not conceived in such a way that it could get all these different languages being registered. The other point is that the question about the WHOIS data in itself, if it's in a language no one can, other than the natives of that language, can understand, it will create another issue. And probably the WHOIS data would be, in that case, extended in two parts, the official local one and the translated one. But that's, again, I think, the task of the working group to get the solution for that problem.
Thank you, Rudy. Julie is wanting to speak, but before she does, I would just like to say, this is Chris speaking, by the way, very briefly, that as far as I am aware, there is no proposal. So, for example, if we are Chinese for a minute, there is no proposal to translate or transliterate from Chinese into Russian, Arabic, Japanese, and all the rest. The only thing that I've seen is a proposal to transliterate or translate into English. That's just to tidy that one up. Julie, would you like to speak?
Yes, thank you. Just briefly to point people to what I've put in the chat room, and as I mentioned earlier, there is staff has been tasked by the board to also start a working group that will specifically look at the developing a data model for how internationalized registration data is handled in a registration data directory service, such as WHOIS. So this particular work group is looking at just one piece, and that is the transliteration and translation of contact information, and the two issues that we have here on the page, and these come directly from the IRDWG's final report, and then also from the final issue report. So the council voted in June to initiate the PDP on these specific issues. So we are limited in the scope for this PDP working group. The scope is limited by the issues that the council has addressed. And also, the board has directed that this piece, this working group's work, will fold into the larger development of the data model for how internationalized data, registration data, will be handled in a service such as WHOIS. So that effort, Yoav, definitely will happen. It will not be done by this particular working group, but the work of this working group, which I think is going to be quite difficult, as people have noted here, will become a piece of that larger effort. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julie. Okay. This is Chris speaking. So that means that we still have some amount of time to come back to other areas of the report. If anybody would like to, Julie, do you want to pick up something else?
Sorry about that. No, thank you.
No, that's fine. No problem. Okay, so that certainly is a very important question, and one I had myself identified. So it's just really looking through sections, 2 and 3 largely, conceivably 1, whether there's anything else we want to pick up today. The only other comment I would like to make is that it's, as I did in an email to the list, that it's very good to see 5 models on page 4 in section 2, because, certainly the 2 other reports, largely sort of detailed 4 models, and then there was a 5th model just mentioned on the final page of the final issue report. So it's good to see all of those 5 possible models trotted out. Okay, well, I'll just double check that I have no other comments. I don't think I do. Okay, in which case, it leaves us with any other business. I should have asked at the beginning of the meeting whether there was any other business people wanted to raise. No, in which case it looks as if we are in serious danger of ending early today. The date of the next meeting, of course, is the same time next Thursday. So, heavens, it's 4 o'clock in London. I think it's 3 o'clock UTC. Just encourage, as has been the case this week, for people to continue the discussion on the mailing list. And Julie, would you like to say something?
Oh, just to confirm that I will indeed make some edits to the charter to add some additional explanation that clarifies the 2 issues, and in particular the point that Yoav made where, yes, we are already translating and transliterating to a single script. So I'm going to pull in something that makes that clearer, and So you'll see another version a little later today, and that we can use for the discussion on next week's call as well.
Okay, thank you very much. And as I said, I'd really like to encourage people to revisit the document in the light of what we've said today and continue the discussion on the mailing list. And also just like to say how interesting the discussion was today. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, in that case, I'm intending to end and say goodbye. Julie, would you like to say something?
I keep forgetting to put my hand down, but I will say,
right.
Everyone, and I'm glad to see so many people on the call, despite the fact that it's a holiday for some of you. I do appreciate you spending the time, so thanks to all of you.
Likewise. Thank you all very much. Until next week,
Rudy speaking. Yeah, Rudy speaking. Just to thank Chris for doing a marvelous job as co-chair and chairing this meeting. So thanks a lot, Chris.
That is too kind of you.
I will be more active next week as it was bank holiday today and I had to catch up a lot of backlogs. So see you next week, all.
Indeed. Goodbye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.